the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
It's called The Helper Arrives. Jesus told his friends to wait in Jerusalem, to wait for the helper that he had promised to send them. So they waited. They waited and they prayed for 40 days. And while they waited, the streets of Jerusalem filled up with people from every land. People from the north and people from the south. People from the east and people from the west. People from all around the world who came together to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. Jesus's friends were in an upstairs room when suddenly some surprising things began to happen. They heard a wind blow harder than the fiercest storm. But nothing was blowing about. Then they heard the flickering of flames and they watched tongues of fire come down and lap and land on their heads. But nobody smelled any smoke. Then the helper came, the Holy Spirit, and he filled them all with the presence and the power of God. And what they heard next was talking. Strange words pouring out of each and every mouth. So they rushed outside, eager to tell the crowd what had happened. And now suddenly everyone could understand. The people from the north and the people from the south. The people from the east and the people from the west. People from all around the world. But now Jesus's friends could speak in different languages. Languages that they'd never learned. All because God's Holy Spirit. What better way to be able to tell the world about Jesus? So that's what it's all about, said a man from Spain. That's amazing, said a woman from Africa. Tell me again, asked a man from France. But there were others who thought that Jesus' friends were just talking nonsense. These people are drunk, one man shouted. It's nothing but a load of gibberish. And that's when Peter stood up. Peter, who'd been with Jesus from the start. Peter, the fisherman. Peter, who'd never made a speech in his life. Listen, everybody, he shouted. We're not filled with wine. We're filled with something else, with God's own Holy Spirit. And many years ago, a prophet said that this would happen, that God would send his Spirit to help not just special people like prophets and kings, but everyone. That has happened today. And it's happened because Jesus, the special one we've been waiting for all these years, Jesus, who was put to death by you. The people were sorry for what they'd done to Jesus. What can we do? They cried. Tell God that you are sorry, said Peter. Let him wash away all the bad things that you've done, and you'll receive his Holy Spirit too. And you know what? That's what they did. 3,000 of them. They told God they were sorry. They were baptized and they were filled with God's Holy Spirit. People from the north and people from the south. People from the east and people from the west. People from all over the world.
Good morning. My name's Lizzie and I'm a member here at Belmont. It's great to be able to be invited into your home to talk about this passage. If you've not been back in Belmont, or you've never been, I wanted to tell you that we've missed you, and there is something really, really wonderful about being with other Christians as you worship. This morning, there will be 14 tables of families worshipping together, which can be wriggly with random questions and snacks and colouring, and there'll be lots of adults, some alone and some with their bubble, sat in socially distant rows. There will be people of all ages, all different. Something that appears in today's story because our church is part of the church that was born that day. In my life as a mum and a teacher, I get asked surprisingly often, what does it mean? And that's a central question to keep in mind as we think about Acts 2. Today, if you're watching this on Sunday, the church around the world will celebrate this event, which we call Pentecost. My little boy came home from school telling me that it was the birthday of the church this weekend, because this is when the church really started. Which brings us to the heart of the matter. What happened and what does it mean? Firstly, this coming of the Holy Spirit means God keeps his promise that this would happen. Jesus, before he died, told his followers that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He gave his disciples very specific instructions to make sure that they were in the right place at the right time. And they were. And the coming of the Holy Spirit immediately caught their attention. The sound like the violent wind, the tongues of fire, some things that were striking to hear and to see. Perhaps you can hear the resonance of other passages in Scripture too, where something significant happened. Watching my kids recently when they have seen flames, I've been struck by the attraction and the interest of flames. God promised that this would happen, and it did. And both the disciples and everyone else knew that something interesting or intriguing was going on. The tongues of fire and the wind meant that the disciples don't miss the fact that God keeps his promise that this would happen. Everyone in Jerusalem responds to the noise of the Holy Spirit and hubbub erupts. Some people get the wrong idea, but others see that it's really significant. Peter is asked the question, what does this mean? And he refers to an Old Testament passage from a book called Joel. So, the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was predicted long ago in scriptures. Joel isn't the only place that the Spirit is promised. It's not a surprise. This is part of God's plan for his people in his world and living under his rule. What else does it mean? God wants to live inside his people by his Spirit. God is pouring out his Spirit on us, as in the torrential rain showers last weekend, rather than some nice fine drizzle. Up until this point, God has been remote from his people since the Garden of Eden. God then came into the world, Jesus. I would love to have been able to hang out with Jesus like the disciples did, but there are a lot of practical problems with this idea. Jesus was only one person who could be in one place at one time. The coming of the Holy Spirit means that God is in each one of us. Therefore, as Christians, we take God with us into our workplaces, homes, and everywhere we go. This has been deeply reassuring to me in the gritty and painful reality of the last couple of weeks. God living inside his people will be something noticeable to those around us. This is a theme which has come up in our studies in 1 Peter over the last few weeks. Maybe you want to look back there and remember something important. What does it mean? Peter is clear that the Holy Spirit is a gift for all. Young and old, rich and poor, men and women, it is wonderful to see that the Spirit is coming to everyone. Not just like in the Old Testament, where the Spirit came on certain people for certain tasks at certain times. You may feel like you are excluded from being fully part of God's family, but that feeling is not reality. And I ask you to challenge it. The Holy Spirit is for everyone who follows Jesus. That includes you. What does it mean? Well, whoever calls on God can experience all this because of what Jesus did. Verse 21 says, for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Something to think about is that these days must be Joel's last days, when the Spirit is poured out. The "we will be saved" is our present reality as well as our future hope. Salvation has begun. What does it mean? When you experience this, it's going to change the way you live. Flick on in Acts 2 and you can see the transformation of the followers of Jesus. We are also part of this transformed community of followers, and the Holy Spirit in me will let me serve others. For me, it means I'm going to cook dinner for another family this week and leave it on their doorstep, because that is a way I can serve them, a bit like Jesus would have done. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt us all to different things, but this passage means the Holy Spirit has work for you and he's going to help you do it. As a finish, I'm going to ask you to reflect for a wee moment on the passage from Acts 2, 1 to 21. What does it mean?